is a three levels of conversion. One level is the fear of God. Right? You say, wow, you think of your friend, the fear of God. The second is the level of evidence. Why is this is true? Third level is about conviction. The Holy Spirit convicts our hearts. So you've got these three levels. But if you never get past the level of fear, you probably not going to get the person to convert. But fear is a very poor motivation when it comes to changing your life. Okay? And so, to be able to have fear, to be a motivator, there always has to be what? The threat. There's always to be the fear. We're going to see that in Agabus' life later on, when we get to the 22nd chapter. It's the fact that after the fear goes away, so does his repentance. You know, that's one thing when faith now passes down through the years, is the person converts and they don't see him again. So it really was remorse rather than through repentance is the difference for you. So we see this fear of this in the people of the life that has the 450 prophets, and I'm assuming the 400, Baal, the 400 prophets of Asherah, an Exodus unit. Now, Elijah turned to Ahab, said, you better go up and eat and drink because the rain is coming. Something intriguing about Ahab's response to me. This is what's intriguing to me. He just keeps dropping out of heaven. He has all the prophets of Baal killed, Elijah did. All the prophets of Asher killed, and he goes up and eats lunch. Wait a minute, this should have inspired love. You know, I should have inspired all and everything else. I should have bowed down and said, wow. This God is truly God. I repent. I'm not going to regret it. Then all this actually goes up and eats lunch. Now, what's the church up to? Those men trip over the truth, give up, brush themselves off, and move on as if nothing ever happened. We see the same thing in John 11, where the Pharisees and the priests see Jesus raised from the dead. He'd been dead for 9 days. 4 days, remember, and Martha said, well, this time you stink it. You gotta use it if you think you stink it. And so, you say, wow, this guy must really be God. So, we can't have this guy go to this. If a person is stubborn enough to continually resist God, no amount of evidence is going to make it. Isn't that what you see in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus? And he says, Lazarus, go back to my brothers and tell them to repent. Abraham says, they got Moses and the prophets. He says, yeah, but some rich man says, well, Abraham, even if someone rich man did, they still would not believe. And most of the time, it's not about that. About his stubborn prideful will. And so here, I just find this intriguing. All this happy time under them, the prophet's been killed, and that was his lunch. sacrifice Saul's wife, and we were talking about that earlier. So here, Ahab's eating lunch. I can imagine he goes home and tells me, I said, well, what happened? And then, well, you know, the prophet God didn't bring on fire. God brought it on fire, and, you know, they kill all your prophets and stuff, and then it's lunch. It's even reflective, right? There's no indication to you. That was pretty amazing. I mean, besides that, this stuff happens all the time. I mean, did you see what just happened? And actually, to be totally unmoved, a hard heart will do that. We saw this there, right? From all the plagues and everything, and the death of the firstborn, in fact, he was angry that God would dare do this. But he doesn't know who I am. Really? Now, this also is intriguing. Unlike the father governed heaven, there's no response to that line in his first prayer, right? He prays, says, okay, let's see what's happening. What's happening? Nothing. That's just six times. Right? Nothing happens. Now, James 5 tells us that that did not erode Elijah's faith at all. Necessarily. God can mix things up with us. He has a tendency to do that, but we do know when storms come out of the ocean, right? That's out of evaporation, and you know, Solomon talks about that, and it's over, and so here it comes out of the ocean, out of the sea. And pray seven times, and we have all seven all the way through the Bible, right? 7 days of creation, seven candles on the menorah. I'm not a numerologist. I don't believe seven's a lucky number.
surprised people that Jesus wasn't really saving 2 hours and be ready before he was ready. They're very violent to a Jew with any part of the days of day. I mean, it's, we're not, you know, I'm telling you, the Jews did not have time after lunches. And Nicole talks away on the sun at this time. It's about this, you know. In fact, the closest they did in the Bible to the second watch, the third watch, and then I would have done like that, you know, somewhere in that period of time. So be careful about the way we use numbers. Now, Elijah did not quit praying until his prayers was answered, by the way. I can't remember if that was his prayers for me, but how long he prayed, as long as I did. Takes for me to realize that God turned me into a savage. Yeah, after you've done all your exact praying through, not that you've done some light prayer, some say, oh, no, God's going to answer that prayer for 3 hours. So that doesn't guarantee. You know, fervent prayer may cure the creation of the Lord, and then the Lord will answer in His way, in His time. His Spirit gives witness to our spirit, you know, that, you know, that. So here he's praying. He didn't stop at the end of 6. He knew he had a breakthrough. He knew he was commanded to pray. He's fervently praying. And since God led Elijah to pray for the end of the drought, God would answer in his way, in his timing. Now, I want you to also notice this. It doesn't say here, Elijah would give up just after the third time. Says, you must not be praying. Maybe I need to say different words or everything. That somehow it's a mighty formula. No, he does exactly the same prayer for these 7 times. You know, so he gets down there and he prays 7 times. There's a reason why God has to pray for 7 times. And by the way, let me mention this about prayer. The exercise of prayer itself is important. And often we think prayer is only important if we get the answer. He wants it. Men should always what? Pray. We should pray with what? Without ceasing. Prayer itself is important. You talk to Jeremiah that just because Jeremiah was in standard response, it says, well, the message you're giving is important. Whether anyone responds or not. He said Jeremiah's call was to give the message. It's up to the Lord to use that message. So it's not this or that. But I remember the church in Virginia where a guy came in, a large church in Michigan, came in and left after 3 months. The reason why he left is because he expected to come in here and run the church here. I could get over and have the formula. But it worked. Different place. Different ways of moving. And sometimes it takes more patience. And you can't transfer this to that if you do this for a year. That's one of the things with the church growth movement and then George Farnell and everything else. If you do this for a year, well, not necessarily so. You know? And so you have to be led by the Spirit. And just led to pray in this fashion. The prayer itself is important. And it's called prayer is communion with God, right? That's what prayer is. And so here we have it now. When he sees the cloud, he tells his servant, say, listen, go tell Ahab, you better get the chariot. Because the ring, she's a con. That's a southern translation. And so it's coming, and when it comes, it's going to come with vengeance, but with torrential. So you better get going. By the way, God's still working on me. I mean, he shows them the fire coming down. You know, he shows a judgment on the prophets. have to pause, and by the way, he's not going to. Also, Samaria's going to win Jethro, which is a closer one, because it's stakes that Jethro is where the Mount of Armageddon is going to take place, right before the Mount of Armageddon. And so, he's still working. He mounts his chariot. He races back to safety. Torrential rains are coming. The ground is as hard as concrete. He hasn't rained for 3 years, so the rain would just flood. He just went on a stream, right? It would just run off. He said, but he'll keep coming down and plant until it starts to become a quagmire. And then it will start becoming ponding. And so he better get out of here. You're not going anywhere. So they're coming. And then the road will soon be streams rather than roads. And the drought ends with a widespread flood. Says he repeats the next miracle. Elijah girds up his loins. They had ropes, so they had to tie them up. They want to run. And outruns a chariot. Now, this was a Olympic race. Elijah probably wins, right? But he has a help, right? The Lord pushed him along. Now, Elijah should have stand back also and said, this old geezer up here is out racing like one of my horses. Let's blow right past him. Right? Just like the fire. Just like the rain's coming. He lets it blow. This is a superhuman city. And God then demonstrates his power. You know, he had that plenty of evidence. Right? He plenty of evidence. What more than most people. Second of three major periods of miracles. You have Moses and Joshua. You have Elijah and Elijah, the dead Jesus and the apostles. And so Ahab is seeing things that a lot of people would like to see, right? Pharaoh had plenty of miracles. Because now this God is really God. You know, our gods can't do this. Well, the Pharisees had plenty of miracles. They're all watching Jesus, and they see him on the blind ride, and making the lame to walk, and raising the dead. I mean, what more do you want? In fact, it's one of the most ironic statements in the entire Bible, where they said, well, just show us a sign. Let me just show us a sign. How many more signs do you want, right? He said, no signs will be given this generation, but the sign of Jonah.